Welcome to Perfectly Sane Show, episode 440. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
We are joined. So joined. Oh, God, are we joined?
Yes. That's a little creepy, but everyone will get over it. Jeff is here.
Hi.
And Earl is here, too.
Howdy.
And we have a pretty packed show of games we've been playing and some new stuff. I guess let's jump into it with Crackdown, which, Earl, have you played any Crackdown?
No, I've not played the new one yet.
So I think the rest of us may have either finished it or very close to finishing it in some cases.
I finished it.
I'm on the final boss, which I'm not liking at all.
So the final boss was the toughest part. Ass,
yeah. So, like, I'm like kind of like I don't care about achievements. So I'm kind of like, well, there's not much for me to see after this. I'm just like, I don't know.
Just lower.
You gotta beat the final boss.
Lower the difficulty.
Right. Yeah, lower the difficulty and go in with homing rockets. And
I assume you folks will talk about it, but I'm actually really curious. Does it mean that it was an engrossing game for you folks, or is it a short game?
I loved it.
I put in 20 hours.
Okay.
I'm going to come the highest, because like I read your review of it, Chris, and like so much of your review is being defensive, and I get that, but it's like, no, fuck you, this game is good. Like,
yes.
It's not bad at all, dude.
I hate to agree with Jeff, but I keep seeing these like 3 out of 5, 60%. So that's like, okay, maybe if you're grading on some sort of weird technical scale. But if I go by like the amount of fun that I'm having when I play,
if you just look at it as like fun, like it is like it's so. Like, I like do like a mini breakdown as well. Like, I don't think it looks great. I don't think it sounds great. I think it's plays really well, like really, really well. It controls fabulously.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you want to talk about technically, like
and it,
the controls are great.
I think it's a fucking blast.
It's weird, too, because one of my big criticisms early on was, like, it's weird button placement. But after a while, you're just like, it just feels cool. Like, it feels right for that game. Like, anyways, sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I do wonder what some people were expecting out of it, because it's literally Crackdown. Like, it's exactly what it is. It's just Crackdown with some like quality of life improvements.
Well, I think that was part of the issue people had with it, because I mean, the original Crackdown is 12 years old, and to just be like it's Crackdown, it's like okay, it should have evolved in 12 years.
But should it have?
Well, I mean, that's a question.
It does. Like in some like it. When I say it's Crackdown, like it is literally that core loop of. Like they throw you into a sandbox, you collect orbs, you beat up people, you run over people with your car, you collect more orbs, you get more powerful, you fight big bosses, and that's it. Like there's no real story to it. There's cutscenes here and there, but like it's basically like the core loop is the same, but they have improved just about every aspect of Crackdown with this game.
And I do want to say, like, part of it for me, too, is, like, I've never played a Crackdown. So, like, you know, that criticism that some people might throw at it where it's like, oh, this ain't fresh or whatever, or this is, like, you know, really old design. It's like, look, this is just brand new to me, kind of, you know, and I had a blast. So,
but, like, I don't know. I don't get the whole, like, it's really old design, like, and like there's a reason that some design sticks around, you know, because Mario's fucking old design. Good,
right? Yeah, but and we can get into impressions. But I, you know, like I said, I tweeted this earlier. I was listening to another podcast, and one of the things they mentioned is like, especially in the fact that we just came off of Spider-Man, where you got that whole I can traverse the world in such a crazy, creative way. That I think part of it is like coming off of Spider-Man, coming off the Arkham franchise, where it's like you get to still be that, you know, superhero, but with an actual story, good graphics, good music, and a better loop.
I don't think the loop is better in Spider-Man or the Arkham games, actually.
For me, what makes this game special is there's like a layer to the there's layers to the platforming, because like you're always upgrading how high you can jump, which allows you access to new orbs, which you need to get to like a higher jump level. Like, there's something about that to me, like getting better at the traversal in that way is really addictive to me.
And it's not just with the traversal either; like every aspect, every skill that you upgrade. Like your guns get better as you like you get access to new things that way. Your strength gets better, like so you can throw things farther or do a ground pound, or like at the end, like I think the level 6 upgrade for strength is like you actually cause a fucking explosion when you punch them. Like you're exploding them when you punch them. Like
I'm always like accidentally killing the militia guys.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, dude, but, you know, I'm too powerful now.
So it's like, I do think that, like, yeah, like, they're, you know, playing Spider-Man is cool, and, like, you're getting to live that Spider-Man experience. I think with Crackdown, it's completely different in the fact that it is a sandbox world. They throw you in, and you can go do whatever the fuck you want from point one. And it's just how you go, how you approach it, and then how you utilize your upgrades and
it shares a little bit with like Breath of the Wild that way. I was like thinking about that the other night, because like last night, my girlfriend's like, "Are you like almost done with this game?" I'm like, "I guess I could be right now if I want." And I was like, started going after the last two bosses or whatever. And I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to. I didn't even consider it yet. I was like, I guess I could.
Well, beat the game now. And I'm pretty sure, and I did not try this, and maybe I should, like, jump in with my powered-up person, my powered-up agent. But I'm pretty sure, like, you can technically try to go after the end boss, like, right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd be massacred. Right. Like, I mean, as you take down the sub bosses, like her defenses get weaker. And like as a level 1 character, you would not be able to make some of the jumps that need to be made, but I suppose you could try.
But because of how the save system is set up too, you could actually start a new game whenever you want with your current character.
Yeah.
Like a new world. Like there are two, like it's a world save and a character save. I thought that was a cool, like, neat idea, like, to kind of, like, fuck with how you want to play it that way.
So basic premise of Crackdown is, like, you're an agent for the agency. You are trying to take down this oppressive group in the city, and you're fighting with some freedom fighters, and you're taking down, like, the, you know, they call them crime bosses, but they're really the government of this city, I guess. And there's what, 9 total bosses. And each of them like are different, and like they have different locations and different ways of fighting. And you weaken them and call them out by like taking out their sub bases. And then in between there, you're just kind of traversing the world and finding green and blue orbs, doing the rooftop races and driving around, finding agents that have died.
Scaling those fucking crazy high towers.
Yeah.
God.
Like, some of the platforming is fantastic. Like,
it made my palms sweat. Like, I was just like, oh, God, please don't fucking... Because especially, I didn't realize that you could just reach that. I was like, if I fucking fall from this thing, I'm going to kill somebody. And then he falls, like, press up to reset. Press up.
That's one of the improvements that they made with Crackdown 3, because in the original Crackdown, like, if you were, like, let's say, climbing the science tower in 3, and you get, like, halfway up, and it's pretty high up, if you were to fall down and die, well, one, you'd be dead. You'd have to regen. And if you somehow survived, you'd have to redo it again. Like, there was no, like, quick reset. Like, so this actually has a pretty good checkpointing system with the platforming. It's never frustrating. Like, I was doing some of the I did just about everything in the fucking game, except find all the orbs. I think I'm missing two of the audio logs and two of the beer barrels. But I did everything else in the game. And so those big towers that you're climbing up, like, you know, you're going to fuck up a jump here and there, and you can just quickly reset and it'll bring you to like a checkpoint on the tower.
But there is,
unless you're just trying to grab some random orb on the top of the tower and fall off, then you're screwed.
Right.
It still is intense though, because you don't know sometimes how much you're going to lose. Like, if you fall off. It's like, it's still hard. Like, the little chunks that they give you are hard, dude.
Yeah, they're challenging, and but it's also like, it's like you see, like, some of them are set up like, oh, you should probably be approaching this when you're level 2, but you come to it at like level 4 or 5. It's like, it's trivial at that point.
Yeah,
you're like jumping like 3 times as high as you were, and like there's still some bypass shit. Yeah, it's funny because it's like oh well. I see what I was supposed to do there, but I just did this other thing. I
jumped 2 floors.
It's awesome.
One other thing I actually really appreciate about this game is like the boss fights, or like kind of the level around the boss as well, are like all pretty fun and different. Like, and also, like, that's one of my huge like gripes. You know, you guys know, like, I want more like shit like that in games. Like, and this totally delivers that. Like,
well, no, and give me the boss fights. Fun, yeah. Like, yeah. And it's something that Sunset Overdrive, I thought, did really well as well, where the boss fights in that were like fun and different, and you can approach them in so many different ways. I actually watched a clip that Tony made where he was fighting the one security boss that she has like the drop ship.
Yep.
And like, you were fighting him from like the ground.
Yeah, I jumped all the way down to the bottom because I noticed when you stayed on the top of the tower, you got surrounded by all the planes. That's
where I fought the fucking thing, and I kept dying. And like, I'm like, oh, Tony did it the smart way. He like was hiding under a fucking bridge.
Well, it's like the second to last boss. I don't know if that was like the same thing. But yeah, I was like, I just found a wall I was able to hide behind, and it like worked. And it's like, like, Dark Souls has served me well. Like, there's always an exploit. There's always a way to, like, make the boss a little easier, you know? And it's true here. It is very much, like, approach things how you want. Like, I love that openness to it. Like,
it's literally a sandbox that they just throw you in. You go to town.
I mean, I genuinely think this is, like, a really fun... Like, is it going to be my game of the year? Probably not. But I really loved it, you know?
Yeah, I would love to play another one, like, you know, 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need one every couple of years. But I really enjoyed what I played of it.
I have not tried the multiplayer at all, but I don't know if I will, but really, I guess I'll at least try it.
Yeah, I kind of want to see the destruction aspect, because evidently that's in the multiplayer, and what's called Wrecking Zone or whatever. So I kind of do want to see that. And I may, like, if somebody releases a like an orb map, I may go back in. I still have maybe like 300 orbs to find. 350, I think, maybe.
By far my favorite part of the game, though, is just doing that.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's like you see one like in the distance, and you're like, oh, it, like, I just kept getting sidetracked. It's like, oh, I see one over there, and like you're jumping towards it, but then there's like you see something else in the corner of your eye, and like you're jumping over there. And
it's no matter what I'm doing, if I see one of the orbs, I have to go get it, because I'm like, that's like the main thing to me I'm trying to do in the game. Like, so yeah, I was always like, it's always chasing those things down, man.
I ended up at like 0.28 away from getting level 6 with the agility, but I had actually reached a point where I was not seeing them
out as in much, the open anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
I still have 200 of them to find.
This is crazy. But, yeah.
Like, I was just not, like, it was becoming harder, and I was like, it's like I'm just running around, I'm not seeing anything for minutes at a time. And like, you can check on the map, like you can press select, and it'll actually tell you, like, oh, you have you know, 36 of 39 in this area.
In this grid, yeah.
But it's like, all right, like finding three is like a fucking needle in a haystack because they might be like level one orbs and like on a low partition. They might be under a bridge in like a slum area, or they could be on like a random outcropping that like I just haven't come across.
Yeah, I'm at that point too where it's like you just don't see them that much. But and it's kind of crazy too because it's like you say you have 200 more to find. It's like it's not a huge open world. Like it's just somehow they're like just in little nooks and crannies sometimes.
Yeah, they've hidden them really well. Like yeah. I found five. Like I'm looking at my stats now on the Xbox app. 548 agility orbs and there's 750 total. And I found 111 of the hidden orbs and there's 250 of them.
Crazy.
Like, and like those are really hidden in some cases. Like you have to like listen for the sound because they are not often just like out in the open. But it's still, I don't understand why there's driving in that game.
I barely collected cars at all. Like I didn't do any of that.
So. I think I collected enough to get the achievement. It was like get 10 cars or something.
Okay. Maybe I should do that. I think I have like three or four, you know, I'm like every time I get a car, I'm like this, like stupid. Like I got it one time because I had to cross a bridge and I didn't have like the jumps to like make it across the water, you know?
And you didn't just call your car to come pick you up?
I just grabbed a car.
You just stole a car.
Yeah.
I like the spider car.
Yeah. Yeah, the one you can climb up the buildings with.
Or the tank. The tank is nice. It all of, like the alliance, they die so quickly.
All the cars? Or
yeah, I feel like if somebody's shooting at me, the car just dies really quickly.
Yeah. And I actually like the authority tank better than the actual agency tank anyway. It seems like it takes way more damage.
I will say it took me forever to get to level four so I could actually use the thing. Because I never drove.
No. I actually manipulated it. So I at some point I ended up jumping into one of the authority tanks and they're almost indestructible, like from regular fire. And if you kill people while in a car, you will get purple orbs. So I was just like blowing shit up and getting more and more people to come in and attack me. And so that's actually how I ranked up to level four.
That is also how I ranked up to level four. I just got to a point. I just sit there in the like the APC one with the gun on the top and just machine gun people. And of course, that just keeps sending more people.
Yeah.
And they never, for some reason, as soon as the AI guys get there in their vehicle, they get out.
Yeah,
you drove up to me in a tank and then you got out.
Get out.
Why did you get out? I don't understand what's happening here.
Yeah, that is one thing with some of the AI is pretty dumb, but that kind of makes it fun too that they're so stupid. Like
you're picking him up and like I'm killing you with your own AI guy. I just threw him at you.
Right. And it's super satisfying when you do kill somebody because like you actually see the experience flowing into you.
Yeah. I like the Devastator, the gun where you
the lock-on one.
Yeah, you hold down the button, it just locks onto everybody in the room, and you just see everyone explode, and all these orbs come flying toward you. It's super satisfying.
Yeah. I had a blast with it. Sounds like you guys did, too.
It's way better than Red Dead Redemption 2. Let me throw that out there right there. This game is infinitely better than that game, because I enjoyed every minute of this game.
Yep.
And I enjoyed, like, every 10th minute of that game.
You're just sitting in stars in trouble, huh?
I can't. I mean, it was the biggest problem with that game is that you spend so much time just riding around and not doing fun things. And this game is like, let's do something fun all the time. Let's blow stuff up while, you know, Terry Crews swears at me. It's awesome.
So, Jeff, I think you were actually playing as Terry Crews.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of different agents that you can play as, and they all have different bonuses to experience. So,
what? Yeah, you can find ones.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot to mention that I like really love is there's just like not one but two fucking basically announcers in the game that'll just like say dumb shit while you're fucking going around. Love it.
The whole time, it's awesome.
Yeah, you have the. Your like agency commander, and then the leader of the resistance. They're both pretty funny at times.
There's like, you know, it's a lot of repeated shit too. But like the one like always gets me pumped is when the girl's like, she says something about like all those billionaires are like looking down on us. Wouldn't you like to flip the script on them? I'm like, yeah, let's do this. but it's just like, the guy is like really corny. He sounds like you know, like one of those old video game announcers. Like, it's just like fucking great, dude.
Yeah, and he's the same voice from the original game.
It's great. I love it.
Good.
It's funny though, because like, you know, a lot of people would be like, oh, you guys are just like Microsoft fanboys. Which, by the way, when you say that to me, you have to decide: am I a Microsoft fanboy or a Nintendo fanboy?
Yeah, I can't figure it out yet. I still don't know.
You can be both. You guess are anti-Sony.
I think that makes no... If you're a fanboy, you're like in the console war shit. It's like you got to be for one. You can't just be like, oh...
No, you can be against one.
Well, we're gonna get to that soon, Jeff. It could very well be Nintendo and Microsoft versus Sony.
But it's like, I want to love everybody. I do like a lot of things Sony does. But, you know, it's just... This is not me being a fanboy. I'm just like, it's fun. Like, it's I genuinely like, I could see some of the things people would say, but it's like, at the end of the day, I actually think it looks cool too. It's like, at the end of the day, I like this thing kind of like unashamed. Like, I'm like, this is good. It's fun. Like,
I think it does have,
what the hell you're talking about.
I think it does have a good art direction to it.
It's bland. Like, it's like a bland world that's empty, but it's like, that almost feels like, it's just like, it's fine. It doesn't matter. Like, it's like, all right, great. I don't like, great. You give me a super detailed world where I fucking sit around and do fucking nothing all the time. It's boring as shit.
Right. But everybody this is grass like,
looks amazing. Cool, dude. There's 100 people walking around. Great.
The way they built this city, though, it's like, it's fun to just kind of like bounce around it. That, hey, like maybe there aren't hundreds of people on the sidewalks, but it doesn't really matter because you're jumping around and like they're not interacting with you anyway, other than to like get in your way if you're doing like a driving challenge or something, and then you get yelled at and the militia like chases you for a little bit. The driving races, not that
not
great.
Not good, not fun, no.
But I really love the agility races.
I like
the ones where you're falling off the build thing. Those ones are my favorite.
Yeah. There's one specifically. Like, it's basically a straight line where you're just, like, going... You're dropping hundreds of feet at a time to each individual checkpoint.
And they're just trying not to splat when you get to the bottom.
Yeah.
The goal.
It's fun. Hey, Jeff, I might try out the multiplayer just to kind of, like, see that destruction stuff, but...
I doubt that. I think for me, I'll still probably be digging through the single player shit a little bit. Like, I might start a new game with like my leveled up guy just to fuck around. Like,
that was one thing that I was a little so I misinterpreted a tweet that you had sent out over the weekend. I thought that you said that like you could go into a new world, and like technically you can, but it's just the same world.
It kind of sounds like the way they put it is it's like, oh, it's a similar world, but you know, things are different places, and
right. Well, that's what I was kind of hoping for, was like a procedurally generated, like,
I didn't think that nonsense. I didn't world. Mean that. No.
And like I got in, was like, I understood what you'd meant when like, oh, you go into the same world, you're basically
restarting the game.
Yeah. But from like step one, like you are super powered. But I was hoping that I could find more orbs.
Like, we should do a run of the campaign co-op with our leveled up fucking dudes and just go kill all the bosses. Like something like that. It'd be fun.
Probably won't take very long.
Probably right? take like an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's Crackdown. Real quick, I just wanted to I jump back into Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which Tony had been playing. And he had mentioned, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, that we had like really undersold that game.
Yeah, that game is awesome.
And we really did, because like I had made it a decent way before in that game, and I really liked it. It made my top 10, but I am now way further. That game is fantastic.
I guess maybe I probably sold it short more than anybody. I had beaten it though originally and everything. Like that's why I saw you playing that, Chris. I'm like, why is Chris playing that? I thought you beat that last year. Like,
no, I don't think you didn't play that much of it, right? You played like 2 hours of it.
I played a couple hours, yeah. Like enough that like I was like, yeah, I really like this. Like I know I'm really gonna like it, but like now that I'm playing it more, like those challenge tombs are great. The way they integrate the exploration and everything into the game. I mean, there's still some combat here and there, but it's very segmented too. It's not like with Uncharted where the game is mostly combat. Like this is like you're doing a whole lot more exploring.
It's mostly not combat.
Yeah,
like, there's a little bit.
Like you kill a lot of people. Like
yeah,
I mean, you guys both killed like over 300 people.
This is true. They deserved it, every last one of them.
Right, but it's not like, I don't know, I never ran into a situation where I felt like I was just facing like walls of enemies. Even in like the there's like the middle section where the kind of like super speedy people defending the one temple are at, like they're the kind of the creepy, like almost descent like creatures. Like they're humans, but they're more like they're super fast and zombie-ish in mm-hmm. some yep. way. That's where you get the shotgun initially. Like that was the first time I was like, oh, these guys are coming way too fast, but then like you kind of like see the pattern and there's not like
that was wave. When I turned the combat level down. I was like, I'm not doing yeah. this.
But it's not like wave after wave after wave after wave like Uncharted is. It's like, all right, here's a little bit here and there. And now you're back to exploring and doing like the fun platforming. And I think the platforming is actually really fun. And
I think it's the best part of the game.
Yeah.
It's like, really good.
Figuring out like the puzzles are great. Like even the side missions, which take you on like some of them are stupid. It's like go here and find like five things or talk to five people. But like some of them are here, like go to this challenge tomb and find the thing. And it's like, there's like cool puzzles in them.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure if I had played that game last year, like when it came out, it'd probably been in like my top five.
Yeah. It's really good. So, Earl, you play anything this week?
I just been digging into Nine Parchments, which is like Diablo-esque game where it's essentially just like a magic gauntlet game. It's fun. I've already had time to play at work, so it's a good half an hour game.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing special about it. It's just fun time killer.
Sounds fun.
And I guess I did, I'm in Agrabah in Kingdom Hearts now.
Okay.
It's gotten slightly better. It still has the same issue of not telling me where I need to go.
Nope.
But you know, I dig at it. It's so weird. It's as an aside, I know you can't afford everybody Disney gets. And in this case, they actually did have a backup genie, but it's so weird because I have Return of Jafar, one of my favorite Disney movies. So I know that Homeward is the voice of the genie, but I don't know why I notice this so much in Kingdom Hearts. And I think it's because they try to get him to mimic Robin Williams' frantic energy, and you really can't idea. Do that.
Bad idea.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Some of the voices are pretty good, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, and this is a weird case because this is actually because he does the voice of the genie in Return of Jafar and the animated series. So it's like somebody who's done the, he actually did the voice more than Robin Williams. But when the other guy is Robin Williams,
right,
it's very hard to compare.
Yeah, that's like an, he's so iconic in that role that.
Yeah, I'm also afraid for Will Smith.
Yeah.
Will Smith will be fine no matter what happens.
Well, Will Smith will be fine. Yeah. I'm just not necessarily sure if he'll be fine in this movie.
I mean, I think he could be perfectly fine in the movie, but I think people have already decided to hate him in the movie, so I don't know if there's anything he can do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough hill to climb. But yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I just I am Agrabah is where I go next in my Kingdom Hearts playthrough, so it took me a little while to figure out what the hell I needed to do once I got back to
Trevor's. Yeah, they don't really tell you anything. Though they were better, the one good thing, I don't know if you finished it, is like there was a point where they told me you had to go to this bell and ring it 3 times. I'm like, thank you, why can't you do more of this?
Yes, like, so I did that, but what I had actually missed was, so I was wandering around for quite some time, and it was actually, I went and talked to Squall, or whatever the fuck his name is, and
Leon.
Yeah, Leon in the game. And you have to talk to him again for him to actually give you the book to go.
And that's one of those weird things. Because there's no prompt to tell you to speak to him again.
Right.
But like I said, I'm just kind of using a guide to get. And I'm like, wait, he didn't give me this thing that they say I need to go now take to somebody. So I went to speak to him again.
Yep, and if you don't have that, it doesn't trigger Sid to do something, which is like, oh, God. It's some bad design.
And again, I don't get how this was a game designed for kids.
I mean, look at some early like Nintendo games. Maybe not Nintendo-specific games, but some like Nintendo Entertainment System games.
Okay, yes. I mean, Castlevania was kind of, well, I guess Castlevania. But yeah, I mean, some of that makes sense. But, nightmare. But yeah, I mean, some of it was like, you get, you know, like a lot of them were 2D platformers. You went from left to right. Like, it was just like getting to that direction. This is like, you got to find a specific person to talk to. And yeah. If you don't, it might not trigger something. And you got to find the right room that they're in. And like I said, again, sometimes, like, the enemies always respawn, so it's not even you can follow that trail. It's like, okay, this is where I'm going to end up.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're continuing to play it, though. Yeah, you have like 6 more games to get through.
I'm holding out hopes for a Switch version, not because I think it would be better, just because it's so much easier to play an RPG on the go for me. Then, because I mean, I get that people enjoy them. I really do not like save points. I've just gotten so accustomed to autosave nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I guess I lost power last night, so my PlayStation is going to act all funky next time I turn it on.
Oh, it's going to yell at you. It's going to say, "Why do you treat me like this, Chris? Why?"
Yeah, it's going to be like, you're an asshole. Like, it's like, it's not my fault. Why is the Xbox didn't yell at me when I turned it back on? Switch didn't yell at me. Only the PlayStation does. Jeff, you play anything? Crackdown?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Like, I have other stuff to play. I've, like, tried out Super Bomberman R, but not enough to, like, really say anything much. Paul
recommends Super Bomberman R, right?
Yes, he does. I actually got that too to play with some friends next week.
I mean, like, I watched my girlfriend play a couple levels, and then I did, and I was like sucking. I don't like how it's like visually for whatever reason so far, but maybe that'll change. Like the early levels, at least, like one, I don't like how it's not like straight top down.
Yeah, it has, like, that tilted angle to it, right?
Yeah. Which, like, and just, like, how all the textures and the colors kind of mix together, I like fuck up a lot. Or I'm like, part of it is just me sucking, but I'm like, oh, I put the bomb in a bad spot. Now I got running. And I'm like, oh, fuck. But it's also just I'm rusty at that game. Like, I've only played one Bomberman before, and I was like back on the 360. So, I bought Outlast 2 because it was $750, which is like fucking.
It's a good price.
Yeah, it's like 70% off. So, but I have not really played that. So I have stuff to get to. I don't think. I mean, other than Crackdown, it's been a lot of Tetris 99.
Have you won a game yet?
No, I'm terrible.
Will you ever? Did you take credit for Melissa's ninth place?
I literally posted that for her so she could like take it and repost it. That's all I was doing.
But then she made fun of you. She's like, you pretend.
I know. I was like, what the fuck? I'm trying to help you out. But she got, I think she got a 3.
Okay. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. But, I mean, how have you guys gotten 1 on that?
I still have not bought Nintendo Online.
Oh, my God. What are you doing? You're missing out. Tetris 99 is awesome, dude.
What type of, I was going to say, you folks should go in because it's so much easier with a family plan. I'm with my friends, and it's like $5 for the year.
That's not bad.
$20 is fucking for a year. It's like whatever, man.
Oh, it is. Just but I mean, if you can get it for like $5, yeah. I mean, go for it. Because as far as I can tell, there's no restrictions on the actual family plan.
I actually fully intended on doing it last weekend, but then I got sucked into 20 hours of Crackdown. So,
dude, Tetris 99. In my opinion, it's worth it. Like it's fucking it's fun, dude. It's really cool. It's like intense. Like it's totally different from my Tetris Effect.
Yeah, Tetris Effect is more of like a like chill experience. Yeah.
This is just like very cutthroat Tetris.
Well, man. I mean, it could start off pretty chill, and then
it can get intense. Yeah,
yeah. Like once it hits 50, and the music kicks in, that's when like my nerves. And then once it goes down to like 20 and then 10, it's like. I wouldn't say 10. I've already made top 20 yet. Not done top 10 yet. So.
It's pretty intense, dude.
Speaking of Battle Royales, I got my first win in Apex Legends.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I don't think I have any win in any Battle Royale game yet.
No, me neither. I'm terrible, dude. Well, I'm not good enough.
I mean, you can even cheat to win in like Fortnite and do like big teams mode.
Oh, I mean, I've done that. I don't count that because it's like 50 people.
Isn't that a win in a battle? I don't understand. Isn't that the
same thing? So, well, I don't disagree with you, Tony. But for Fortnite, actually, when you win, a regular battle royale match, you will get a umbrella.
Your
prize for winning the 50v50. There should be a prize.
Yeah, I won the 50v50. I mean, honestly, your chances of winning are 50-50.
Basically, deathmatch. Like,
well, unless you're so bad that you make your team like infinitely worse by being there.
I mean, you'd have to be insanely terrible. Like, who would have a better chance of not touching the controller if you were that bad that you somehow screwed over 49 other people?
You'd be surprised.
Have you ever played with Jeff?
Yes. I will say this: winning in Apex Legends, like that final, like when it's down to two teams, super fucking tense. Like, it was nuts. And I will probably never play as that character again because that was the first time I played as Bloodhound and. I won, so I will never play as him again.
He's been tainted by victory.
It's like it can't.
I was
can't
too good play. With him. It's not fair to the other players.
Yeah, exactly it. Just funny because I went into that final. I ended up with 4 kills in that match, but I went into that final confrontation with just 1 kill, and I
took out the entire squad.
I ended up killing the entire squad.
Nice.
It was like I didn't even realize it until the end. I was like, holy shit. Like when I watched the clip, like I did that. All right, Tony.
Yes, it's Jeff's favorite segment, right?
Yes. So let's do Jeff's favorite segment first, and then we can talk Anthem.
So I played the Gathering Storm expansion to Civilization VI, Jeff's game of the year. It does some cool stuff that you haven't seen in Civ games in the past. I think the big thing is how it involves the environment. So as you play through your game of Civ, there's a couple things going on. Number one is there's now natural disasters. So you can do things like build your cities on the banks of a river, for example. And those normally places in Civ where you would build a city because there's water there and like there's normally resources nearby and all that stuff. But rivers now flood. So it can actually damage the stuff that you build and hurt your cities when that kind of stuff happens.
Okay.
But it also makes like the floods like inundate the land and like make it better for farming and that kind of stuff. So it's like there's like a balance there now where like it destroys your stuff, but you can also like build really productive farms and that kind of thing. So you kind of have to figure that stuff out. Volcanoes, there are now volcanoes that can explode, and if you are dumb enough to build your city like right next to the volcano, it could get destroyed. But if you build like nearby, you can like actually use the it's kind of a similar effect where the volcanic ash makes the soil better. So there's all that kind of cool stuff in there. And then the game has also introduced natural resources as like a finite thing that actually affects the game world as it goes along. So like oil. If all the civilizations are going along using a lot of oil, like the amount of oil in the world will decrease, and it will actually have a global warming effect. So like water levels will rise. If you build cities in the wrong spot, the cities will actually get destroyed because you're destroying the ice caps and like flooding your own places. So you kind of have to pay attention to that sort of thing as the game world is going along. You have a bit more foresight than, you know, we did in our history. So you can actually build your cities so they're outside of like the flood areas. It kind of affects the end game. The end game of Civ has always been either, you know, you conquer everything or you build this, spaceship to take civilization to a new world because you've destroyed this one. Well, that is now effectively a thing that happens while you're playing the game. Like the world is literally getting destroyed around you because you're using up all the resources. So you'll get to a point where you can't find oil, you can't find coal, you can't find iron because it's all gone, and your lands are all getting flooded by the water as you destroy the ice caps with your global warming. You can end up in a point to the game where you're like, okay, nobody can burn any more coal, because if you do, we're going to just destroy everything. And you have to like pay attention to those research projects because you got to get out of this planet because you've destroyed it. So it kind of introduces a lot of really, really cool elements that were kind of implied in the game before, but now they're like effectively there.
That all actually sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It also sounds like more shit to fucking manage or like think about when it's already fucking like, I don't know. I tried to figure that game out. I should go back to it again because I paid like $40 for it.
You got it on
Civ 6 is like the easy Civ too. It really walks you along, so it's not that hard to. I mean, you don't have to manage your population. They like sort themselves out automatically. You just kind of have to figure out the best places to put your cities. And then it's more like, all right, how do I fight in a war? Or should I even fight in a war? And that kind of thing.
Yeah. I made it through, like, I didn't even finish one game. I was just like, all right, I'm doing something wrong here. Like, I should give it another shot one day. Like, it's cool. But yeah, like, what you were saying, like it sounds like a really cool, like, change to it. But also, like, oh, shit, now I gotta consider that.
Yeah. It also adds like a World Congress now, which is kind of like the UN, where you can like vote on like restricting your neighbor's expansion, or like no one can go here to because it could hurt the sea turtles.
Not the sea turtles.
Not the sea turtles. There are sea turtles in the game now as a resource. You can, you know, eat them. Nice. But you, like, you build up diplomatic, like, I can't remember what they're called, but you get, like, points for doing diplomacy. Like, I traded you this resource, you give me points. And you can cash in those points to get favors at the World Congress so people will vote on your stuff. So, like, you can vote to curtail the expansion of a certain religion because you don't want it in your territory or something. It's kind of cool. Kind of cool new mechanic.
Yeah, being able to, like, utilize favors and stuff sounds pretty pretty cool to block things or get your way in other things. Like,
yeah,
all sounds very interesting.
It's fun. It's definitely a worthy expansion. I think Civ 6 has finally hit the point where it's like, okay, now it's a strategy game you really have to own.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, and it annoys the heck out of me that they do with this with all the Civ games now. It really wasn't a must-play strategy game until they came out with this expansion, which is now the
So when Civ 7 comes out, like, I should just wait.
You should wait. You should literally not play that game until there's been a couple of expansions. And they only put out one a year. It's not like Paradox, which puts them out every half hour.
Yeah, like while we were talking, they've released three expansions to to their games. So, cool. Anything else you've been playing?
And then I started Anthem today.
All right.
EA Access Trial.
Yes.
I have only played through like the tutorial mission. I could not figure out how to fly before, and I can fly now. So that's cool.
Good.
But I didn't experience anything. Like, I got right into a game. I didn't have any load time issues. I played an actual mission. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes off, like, the first mission, it plays an awful lot like Destiny.
Right.
You know, it's go here, kill a bunch of stuff, get XP. And, you know, go to the next mission. So, I don't know.
It's third-person Destiny.
Right. That's basically what it is. But you get to fly around. And, I mean, you definitely have that whole Iron Man thing where you can, you know, you're in a suit that's built for war and it fires rockets out of its shoulder. And you can summon a sword. And, like, it's cool in that element.
I didn't know you could summon a sword.
That's your melee attack is a sword.
Oh yeah, and then it's like some of them. I think one of them does like an uppercut with it.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
And at what point do you adopt a random kid?
I didn't know you adopted a kid. That's interesting.
Oh, no, I was just making fun of Iron Man 3.
Oh. It's like, oh, Dad, you played a lot of this, girl. Yeah, I think I'm going to play the 10-hour trial, but I don't know if I'm going to buy it right away.
All right, well, I already bought it, so I'm stuck with this. So you're going to hear a lot about Anthem.
Fair enough.
Or not hear about Anthem in a couple weeks.
Oh, I'm going to play it. I'm going to tell you how horrible it is or how great I think it is. Because you guys know I'm really good at keeping my opinions to myself.
This is true. Yeah, so it's had a weird launch. Like, it technically came out for PC players. If you had Origin Access Premium or Premier, whatever it's called, you had the full game then. And then there was the 10-hour free, well, not free, but 10-hour trial with EA Access on Xbox One. And yeah, there's been all sorts of nonsense going on the side of against BioWare, and then in the BioWare Defense Force as well. So
there's definitely a BioWare Defense Force. They're out there. you mock this game, they'll come after you.
Yeah. Is that a BioWare Defense Force or is it an Anthem Defense Force? I assume that there's some crossover, but there does seem to be people who are heavily invested in this game doing well. And I don't necessarily always think they're BioWare fans.
Yeah, I'm also like wondering why they're invested in this game doing well.
Yeah, this particular game, it doesn't.
Yeah,
really
make that is that's the thing I don't get, because I hang out on Recent Era, etc., right. And there are a lot of people who are really into Anthem, and you can't say anything bad about it. And I get it with young established franchises where there's a lot of goodwill built in. It's weird for a brand new IP.
Or it's like it could go either way, and you're invested that it has to go one way or another. Like, let's see.
And it's weird to be so invested in a new IP before it's even
actually. I know.
Yeah.
Right. Especially the other part is it's EA's game. People normally hate EA.
I know.
Like, normally this is the opposite. It's everyone's out there to bash EA just because it's EA.
I've been pretty quiet on this subject because, I don't know, strangely, I've never cared about this game. Like, I remember when I first revealed it, everyone was like, oh my god. I was like, yeah, it looks alright. And then, like, that was, like, the peak of my excitement for it.
And I was
like, man, I don't give a shit.
I still kind of think it looks alright. Like,
yeah, I don't think it looks like a bad game. And honestly speaking, I was all in on this game until they had the beta. And there was a lot of technical issues, and really that's still my main concern. Like, a lot of people say it gets repetitious and stuff like that. I'm like, you kind of expect that. Like, it's a game you're gonna grind after you beat it. Like, for me, it's the fact that it would be 4-player co-op with my friends,
right?
But the fact that, and you know, Tony says that he's not having necessarily those issues, but there has been a lot of concerns with not just like the loading times, but a lot of their systems. Like, I think we had that debate on Twitter about like the changing out weapons. And it's one thing to kind of get you in mission and have to, I don't know, identify it in town. But it seems like you can't then try that gun out there. You have to go back into a mission or something to try out the weapon to see if you actually enjoy it or not. And that seems backwards.
Yeah, that's the like one of the things. And like, I don't know, like with, you know, with Diablo or whatever, like outside of the engrams or like whatever, where you would get ones that have to be decoded or inspected and identified back in town or in the tower in Destiny.
Wait, you mean Destiny, not Diablo, right?
Well, both. Like there's in
Diablo. There's engrams in Diablo?
Not engrams, but there's
It's stuff that you find in mission that you have to identify.
You have to bring it back to town and have it identified. Although there was a spell you could cast and identify them immediately. I don't know. Either way, like, there are items like that, but for the most part, most of the shit you pick up, you can equip right away. Like, and in Destiny too, like, you know, you pick up regular guns and regular armor. You can, you know, check them out right away and see if you like them. Or it does seem weird that you have to go back to town, put it into your, like, as your primary, and then jump back into a game and like, oh, nope, I don't like how this feels at all. And then jump back out.
Yeah, that does seem kind of silly.
BioWare has never really had great inventory management, so.
No. Like, most of the stuff I've heard people complain about, it's classic BioWare. Like, loading screens? Come on. You remember the elevators?
Right.
Well, my issue is it. I mean, loading screens are a pain, but it's expected. Like, I guess they changed it from the beta. It's that the loading screens are so boring. They're static images.
Yeah, yeah. They could be the elevator.
It could be in an elevator.
Yeah. Like, even that, like even rotating tips, it's like one tip you can't rotate. It's like, I read this already. Can we move on? It's like nothing.
And at least my experience with the beta or demo or whatever was that those loading times could get a little long. Like, you know, it was like a minute or two to get into the game. Tony it seems like they've improved that.
Yeah, I hopped right into the mission.
But yeah, looking at that one image is not great. I honestly, I hope it turns out good, and I will give it a try, hopefully this weekend, with the Access demo. And you're going to continue to play it, Tony, so you can
talk
all about it.
I'm going to play so much of it. I'm all in.
So how was the actual mission that you got to do? Or it was just
the... I mean, it was just the tutorial mission, so it was...
Okay.
Know, here's how you fly. Here's how you jump and hop. And
That would have been nice to know in the demo.
Like... Right, yeah. They kind of just dumped you. And that was one of the things I heard them saying... or was reading on the internet was that they did a poor job of explaining how to do stuff.
Yeah. Like, I think one of the things that's hidden or it's not explained is the combo system.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about a combo system.
I guess we can kind of part... Because part of the thing that's come out about this game is that, one, it's actually been out for a week if you had EA Access Premiere. So that's where a lot of this kerfuffle about performance came from. And then some of the reviews started coming out. And then you had like the Xbox, what is it, VP of communication?
Yeah.
Talking about, like, oh, that was easy. I don't know why reviewers, you know, essentially, you know, dismissing reviewers and saying you should look at the new modern reviewers, just streamers. And then it came out, like, the thing that he's talking about is never actually explicitly explained in game. It's something you have to find in one of the sub menus.
Right.
So
weird. So yeah, weird.
I mean, games do that sometimes, but then I think the problem with this is that it's not that it's expanding the submenus, it's that you actually need it to complete the game because you have to do it to unlock one of the side missions that finishes like the main campaign. Wonderful. And it's very confusing. From what I understand, again, it would be better if I played this game, but from what I understand is that there's a comes a point where you have to complete four missions, which are essentially a bunch of side quests that you could have done throughout the course of the game, but the combo systems wanted a quest and people didn't know how to do it. It's not explained in the game. So it was on the reviewer for not examining every option in the game.
That's the reviewer's fault for not examining every last little option.
Yeah. And that was the defense people had. That's and I'm like, that doesn't make sense because, honestly speaking, I'm with the reviewer because most people aren't going to do that.
Right. And like, if it's something that is important to the game, like it should maybe show you how to do it.
That seems like, yeah, they could mention that briefly.
Especially, like, I mean, we did just get done talking a little while ago about how Kingdom Hearts doesn't really signpost things very well. But that game is also, you know, 17 years old. And at that time, it wasn't good design.
Yeah. And to be fair, I think signposting, I think there's a difference between that. At least Kingdom Hearts usually tells you all how other systems work. So it's not like you can't figure out the game.
Right.
This is like, and it's not like, it's not that Anthem's unplayable with this. It's just like, it's a key component of a quest that you actually need to beat the game. And the fact that it's never actually explained to you. Because there are games, I will be honest, there are games I've played that I'm pretty sure I miss key elements to. But I beat the game no problem.
Right.
But yeah. This, I said before, Anthem's going to be a game I'm going to be happy to pick up for $20 in like 6 months when it's actually working.
Or free on EA Access, because it probably will be.
I don't need to give EA money.
Well, I mean, like if you give them the $20 for the game, you're still giving them money.
I'll buy from GameStop secondhand.
Oh, come on. EA needs your money.
I mean, I don't necessarily have any issue with EA.
I don't have a beef with EA. I mean, they just make. I mean, I bought Battlefield.
Yeah. I love EA. I buy so many of their games.
I bought Battlefield. I think that's the first EA game I bought in like 5 years.
Me too, except for every Madden ever. Love EA. Yeah.
Yeah, and Battlefield every other year.
No, yeah, I don't. Oh, I think I own Battlefront. That was like $5 one day.
And that's a good price for that game.
And I've never paid it.
The first one or the second one?
The first one.
That's the right price for that game.
Oh, wait, no, Titanfall. I own Titanfall.
Oh.
One and two. Yes.
See, those are good decisions.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Those are fantastic. I mean, Titanfall was one of the reasons I bought my Xbox One.
Titanfall is a good game. All right. So that's Anthem and the nonsense around it. There is some Nintendo news, though.
Earlier, try not to cry during this segment, Earl.
Don't cry. Will try my best. I've been crying all day. But yes, literally, as Chris sent out the email about this podcast, news broke that Reggie is retiring from Nintendo after 15 years.
It just feels like 50 years.
It does make it's so weird because I was thinking about it because, like, if you think about it, the face of Nintendo throughout the internet age
has been
Iwata, Reggie, Mario. And Miyamoto.
And Mario.
Well, I mean, Mario's their mascot, but he's not like the face. Like, you think of.
I'm sorry, but you say Nintendo to me, I think of Mario. I don't think
of that's fair. Reggie. But as far as like their stage presence, their personalities, their personas, it's those three. And now two of them are gone.
Yeah.
At least Reggie's not dead.
Yes, he's got that going for him. I mean, I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he gets to retire. And he gets this. Well, I'm curious if he's actually retiring. Or if he'll find his way to another, not necessarily a gaming company, but like, he's only 57.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, though. He's probably got a huge pile of money.
Oh, I'm sure he has money. But I assume people like him will probably get bored. Like, I don't see him, you know, like doing the day to day stuff. I could see him entering something like a consultancy, not with Nintendo or another game. You can just see him doing something like
back
that.
To Pizza Hut.
Back to Pizza Hut. I mean, maybe Papa John's. They need somebody.
They do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, part of that. And then on the flip side, which apparently I guess a lot of people didn't know he exists, Doug Bowser is going to become the new president of Nintendo of America. And a lot of people were keen to find out that there's a Bowser working at Nintendo.
And we sell 90 kabillion jokes about it.
Yes.
Funny, because I remember when he came on, there was the Bowser jokes.
Yes.
Right. You haven't heard of him since then. Now he's back. Right.
Well, no, he's. I mean, I guess I follow Nintendo news a bit closely because he does some of this. He wasn't like the face, like I forget the new guy's name, not the new president, but the guy, the Mario Odyssey dude who does like all the Nintendo Directs now. But yeah. Like Bowser's done a few of this stuff. He doesn't seem to have the same personality that like Reggie and them did, where they can make fun of themselves. But he does enjoy being named Bowser.
If you're gonna work for Nintendo, that's a good name to have.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, again, you know, it doesn't necessarily. Like, Nintendo, I think, has been good at diversifying their personas on screen, mostly through the treehouse at E3 stuff, where there are people you know from the company now that can fill in that void. But, you know, like Reggie kind of came with that. Not only did he come with that Nintendo thing, but he had that dynamic with like Jeff Keighley and stuff like that, where there was that playful banter. And yeah, it's just that history built in that you don't really get with a new guy.
Yeah, he. I mean, it's going to take a while for people to kind of get used to this guy. So,
yeah, or even if they do, because I mean, part of what made Reggie was like his debut at E3 2004, and you know, like one of his famous, "My name is Reggie Fils-Aimé, I'm about kicking ass, taking names and making games." And like Nintendo doesn't do live shows anymore like that, so that guy doesn't necessarily have that grand stage to make an entrance,
right?
Or you know, make a fool of himself at a Smash Brothers tournament, or and stuff like that.
So is Reggie done like immediately or?
No, he is staying on, I think, until April 15th is when Doug Bowser takes over. So
is that when Doug takes over?
Yeah. So I imagine he's probably done and it's, you know, a transition where he'll stay on to help him in anything he needs for day to day. But
it sounded like they'd been working on this transition for a while, though.
I'm sure they have. I mean, and on that, on somebody on that level, like, I feel like April 15th is probably like, I mean, it's almost 15 years to the date when he made his debut at E3. So I feel like it's probably around like the 15 year mark. It's like, I'm not renewing my contract.
Right. I've gotten enough coins.
So yeah.
I'll get the one ups.
Be interesting to see what comes out of that. It's a little sad to see Reggie go.
The end of an era.
I was also going to say I am happy that, you know, he's going out on a high note because we got that great moment at the Game Awards where it's him, Phil Spencer, mm-hmm. and Sonny Dude. Is it Andrew? That's not Andrew House. Who am I thinking of?
Layden. Sean, yes. Layden. I don't like that guy at all.
I wish it was crap. Well, who's the guy who used to do the Sony press conferences?
Andrew Lincoln? No, that's the guy from The Walking Dead. it was Lincoln something though, wasn't it?
I don't. But I used to like him, the guy who would come out and he'd always do the thing with his hand. Crap! It's gonna drive me nuts trying to remember who he is. We'll figure it out. But yeah, it was, you know, it's a nice moment. It's I have to show respect. Like Phil Spencer tweeted out for him. You know, it's to kind of go back to Jeff's point. I've always found fandoms so fascinating because like fandoms will fight and fight and fight, and then like the companies all respect and like each other. Like yes, they are competing, but it's not like they're out for blood.
Right. So they're just out to make money. I mean, really, yeah. Competition is fun for them, and it gives them like things to focus on at board meetings and that kind of stuff. It's not like I want to kill you, Sony.
Yeah. So it's always fascinating when that stuff comes out because you always get those people like who get angry at them for not having that same rage that they do for these other their competitors.
Yeah. It's like, and ultimately, well, I don't know. I think they probably enjoy having competition in the marketplace.
Yeah. I think it's not just competition, but it's also a way to grow the industry so more people are buying your product. Right. Like, I look at Apex Legends. And Apex Legends, oddly enough, has its roots in Minecraft. Because Minecraft got people into that whole crafting stuff, which was what built the foundation of Fortnite, which people moved on to. And then Apex Legends took the Fortnite and just got rid of the crafting stuff to give you that Battle Royale that adults want. So you kind of have that evolution from, like, elementary school, junior high, high school, with Minecraft, Fortnite, Apex Legends. And that's kind of what you want because you're getting new blood. That's why I always find fandom so fascinating because they will tear each other apart for no reason because nobody else cares.
Evidently, Reddit is not happy with Bowser taking over. Because he worked for EA for 8 years, so
EA is the great Satan.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just be honest here. I mean, I love Reggie. I think Reggie's a fantastic guy. Nintendo of America president is a figurehead.
Yep.
You're not the real Nintendo president. You're just kind of like marketing operations and
in the U.S.
Exactly.
How do I ship product in the United States? That's basically all you're concerned with.
Yeah, so like when people get, it's like he's not going to be the one making the decisions if you get a new. I don't know what game do people if you get a new F-Zero, that's not going to come from Bowser,
right?
Oh, I just got my Anthem Day One patch, by the way.
Oh, so you weren't playing with a day one patch?
Apparently not.
Okay.
Well, I mean, day one just started, Tony.
Yeah.
For you.
Yes, it is just after midnight.
Well, fans are weird.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's super fascinating on a week with Ghostbusters that, yeah, fandoms are awful, awful, awful things.
Yeah. But what if we could combine two fandoms?
Then you're just going to piss off the third fandom, and that's even worse.
Just true. So there, you had actually tweeted this at Tony and I, and the rumor picked up a lot of steam on Twitter.
Steam.
that Microsoft is prepping an Xbox app and Game Pass for the Switch. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but we weren't really sure what that meant at the time. Like Xbox Live is coming to Switch. This is kind of what we wanted out of it. So,
right, this is exactly what I wanted. I want to play. I want to play Halo at the airport. That's my dream.
I will say this much. And you can usually tell when there's some truth to rumors is when major publications pick it up and they like, oh, you know, we've heard. Because like Game Informer picked this up, Kotaku. Like, at some point, I assume a lot of people kind of know this is true, but they can't officially speak on it. But somebody else said it, so you can run with it now.
Right.
It's like when Assassin's Creed used to leak and people like, oh, some dude heard about it on a flight. And Kotaku would run with it. It sounds like a ridiculous rumor, but if you're running with it, it means that you have some belief in this actually being true.
Yeah, you've either already seen it, or
or you've heard if there's enough smoke, there's fire.
Yep.
And yeah, like we discussed, and it's, you know, it started with this Xbox One. Are you on with like the games anywhere? It's like Microsoft seems just concerned with being a hardware provider and just becoming an ecosystem.
Yep.
For Nintendo, there's no downside to getting more games.
No. Hey, and you know what? If people still buy an Xbox and then they buy a Switch, like it's a win-win for both parties.
All of us, right? I mean,
yeah.
The more money these companies have, the more games they'll develop, the more stuff we'll get.
Yeah. And, I mean, even if Microsoft wanted to maintain their business model, you can do something like Marvel Unlimited. Like, oh, we'll do Game Pass, but like on the Switch, games won't come there for a year. So you can still have a reason to invest in the Xbox.
Yeah.
If they wanted to, I don't think they're going to be that petty. Though, from what I hear, Game Pass on the PC doesn't necessarily have the same collection of games that it does on Xbox. But I assume that's more to do with the fact that you're licensing out third-party games.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other... I mean, everybody has Netflix. And Netflix in the United States is different than Netflix in Canada, and this is different than Netflix in Europe. And part of the reason is trying to license... Everybody has their own licensing agreement with somebody else.
Yep.
So it's going to be the same thing with Game Pass. Like, Microsoft can do it. That doesn't necessarily mean they can do it on the PC or the Switch or Android or iPhone or whatever.
This is true. I am, honestly, for me, I just kind of want to be able to play my Microsoft Xbox games like Halo on the Switch. I think that would be cool. So
that would be awesome.
And I think those will be the ones that we get at the very least. So anything else is kind of heavy.
Like, I would imagine, I mean, my forerunner, I think the rumor says Ori and the Blind Forest is coming. I will be honest, that's one I've heard as well. I would imagine Real Replay would have to be one of those that is up there.
Oh, yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
I don't necessarily know if this can work, but I can imagine if Nintendo and Microsoft are playing nice, maybe everybody will finally get their golden goose and get some type of golden eye on the modern systems.
Well, that could be interesting. I mean, they'd have to work with whoever has the Bond license.
I don't think anybody has the Bond license.
So they just have to work
with an actual James Bond game.
They just have to work with what, Sony Pictures then?
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, because everybody else, like Microsoft has Rare, Nintendo is Nintendo, so you'd have the publisher and developers on board.
Right.
So yeah, you just have to. I don't think Sony has this. Is it Amiapro or A24? It's one of those weird ones. But most likely you'd work with EON,
right?
To set that up. And I can't imagine they're going to say no. Because, again, nobody's making Bond games right now. Like, there's not even mobile games coming out for the franchise. I check.
Yeah, and I mean...
Because Rare would be all in for a Bond game.
Yes, I've played pretty much all of them. I even played that stupid both GoldenEye remakes.
Oh, yeah, the one where you played as a bad guy. That was one of them, right?
The bad guy whose name was really named GoldenEye, I think. Or he had a GoldenEye.
Yeah. That's a bad game.
But the other one was all right, wasn't it? Trying to like remake it, kind
of. Yeah, I like that one. It was remade in the Call of Duty engine, but I liked it. I had fun with that.
I like Age of Under Fire.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of decent Bond games. I think GoldenEye casts a huge shadow. I mean, my personal favorite is Everything or Nothing. But yeah, Everything or Nothing, Agent on the Fire, Nightfire. I did not care for Bloodstone. Is that the one that was on the Xbox and Xbox 360 and PS3?
Bloodstone sounds correct.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is like everyone loves like GoldenEye, like that's the one. But like, there was another one on N64. I think it was World Is Not Enough. I played the fuck out of that.
Yeah, that was good too. But again, I think GoldenEye cast such a huge shadow that people were like, "It's not GoldenEye." Because I mean, Tomorrow Never Die had a game as well that was on PlayStation. Not as good. The World Is Not Enough had a game, which was a ton of fun. And it was also very neat because it was one of the few view cartridges for the N64.
Yeah.
Like I said, I played way too many Bond games.
I would be down for GoldenEye, even though I know it does not hold up.
Yeah, I was going to say because like, I remember right around the... Around the time I got Twitter was when Perfect Dark HD was coming out. And so a lot of people I actually met through that were super excited for it. And then they played the game again. And it's like, this does not hold up. And that was almost 10 years ago. And GoldenEye's even older than that is.
I'm still thankful to have Perfect Dark, like with modern controls. Like, I will probably go back sometime again and do it again. Like, I don't know.
It was fun.
Maybe they can do it. Maybe they were. What they should do is something like Halo Master Chief Collection or Halo Anniversary. Have the original GoldenEye and be able to swap on the go to take modern graphics and like modern controls. Maybe regenerating health.
That fun could jazz. Be fascinating. That could be really cool to see. I don't see that happening, but. If they did that, that would be really cool.
I don't see it happening, but sometimes you have to dream. Like, honestly speaking, honestly, at the start of this year, would you imagine a scenario where you're talking about Xbox games on the Nintendo system?
Nope. So, not at all.
A GoldenEye remake could be in the works.
Sure.
It's possible. Let's do it.
Sign me up.
I'm all for it. We just have to get these people to agree.
I don't know. People on the internet are like, what's Nintendo doing? They're sullying themselves. It's bad for them to have Microsoft on their system.
I don't get people who said that.
Yeah, to me, like, it's just it's a win-win for everybody. Like, I don't know. Whatever. I am excited for it. I guess the rumor was originally we'd hear about it at GDC, so I assume that's when we're still going to hear about it. The other rumor I'm hearing is that Microsoft's dev kits for their next console will be going out after GDC.
Oh, God, really?
Well, I mean, it makes sense if it's out next year.
Yeah. So, like, I guess they're going to be updating people at GDC on stuff, and then those first round of dev kits will be hitting out. So, it'll be interesting. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, this shows that they're going to do a streaming box. Like, the rumors that I'm hearing from people that do pretty credible research on this stuff are saying that it's not going to be a streaming box, so we'll see.
I think they'll do a new console. I'm just curious in what form it takes.
In what way?
In the sense that if it's, I assume it will be future proof for like Game Pass being one of their primary sources of gaming on it. I think that's what they'll also use for backwards compatibility going forward, instead of having it. It's not hardware based on. It is hardware based on the, well, software based on the Xbox One. And I also can see them not getting rid of disc because they just invest in 4K. But like, I think they're going to try to do what they did with the Xbox One, where it is kind of like always on, in the sense that like they would prefer you to go digital.
Yeah, I think they're already there. Right. I mean, I think that both Sony and Microsoft, like, they are there. Like, digital games are doing very well for most of these companies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, listening to Rebel FM this past week, what I did hear was that there'd be two SKUs for the new Xbox.
Has it ever worked for anybody?
I don't know. well, I mean, this is just rumors, obviously, but he seemed pretty confident in them. The one SKU would be more like the 1X, be slightly more powerful, and then there will be a more reasonably priced box. But both seem pretty strong, like 16 megabytes of DDR6 RAM. Like new cards with ray tracing. That seems to be the hot thing.
I don't know.
I don't know what ray tracing is. Like, when people get into like tech specs like that, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm interested to see where this all goes. GDC next month, I think, is GDC, so should be interesting to hear the rumors that come out of there and the reveals. And then, you know, there's always the people get drunk and accidentally say shit.
Yeah, those are my favorite stories.
And then, like, then there's all these denials for the next 2 months until E3, but
we didn't mean it.
Right.
I swear, except for the trailer we're about to put out in a week.
Exactly. I don't know. What are we, 6 years into this console life cycle? So
yeah.
7 seems about right.
Yeah. I'm not ready.
No.
I love you, Xbox One X.
I think that's always the issue for people, is the fact that this gen and last gen had the mid-year refresh, so it doesn't feel like 6 years, because the Xbox One S and the PS4 Pro are only, what, 2 years old?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, this will be their the third year. Third year or second year?
Second. I think it's the second year for one, because one came out.
My Xbox One X is 2 years in November.
Right. And yeah. The PS4 Pro is three.
Older. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and those actually seem like the consoles that should have come out, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Like the especially with the X, like it's
the X feels like a true upgrade over. Well, the 360, I guess.
But see, it's an upgrade even over the regular Xbox One.
No, it's a significant upgrade. It's hard to argue that. Oh.
Yeah, having played Red Dead 2 on both of them, it's noticeable.
Yeah, I
I'm curious to see again with the form. I'm curious to see what happens, because I have a 4K TV now. I get the difference in resolution, but I don't imagine a lot of people know or care
about 4K.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I think they're getting there.
Yeah, you've seen it. You're like, oh god.
4K. If you've seen it, but like again, it's like, oh, it looks nice. But how many people are going to go? Like, I'm not talking about like people like us. I'm talking about the rest of the population, where it's like
normal people.
People who probably be like people who still watch movies on DVDs.
Yep, and they think that the TV is actually making it look better. So
yes,
and in some cases, I guess there is upscaling done, but. In most cases, it's not on the TV side.
Like, I mean, okay, DVDs. I just watched a DVD tonight. Don't ask; it was a horror show. Why? Because
you got it from work, right?
Yeah.
Ah, I follow you on Twitter. I know everything you do.
But yes, because for some reason we haven't updated our movie library to be on DVDs. I mean, I guess it makes sense because not everybody has a Blu-ray player, and I'm on 4K now, so I just got a bunch of 4K movies. But yes, I'm like, okay, you know, DVDs don't look as bad as I imagine in my head. In my head, it's like, I don't know if you remember like watching real play of videos in like the 90s where like, you.
Oh, yeah. That like waxy look.
Yeah, and it's fixated. Yeah, that's what DVDs looked like in my head before today. And I'm like, I'm sure it was fine because I watched DVDs for like a decade and a half. But in my head, it just got like these awful picture images. And I'm watching, like, oh, this is fine. Like, I would prefer HD, but I'm like, this doesn't hurt my eyes or anything like that.
Right.
So I imagine that's what a lot of people go through. It's like, oh, this looks fine. It's not like. And the thing is, and again, this could just be my experience, it's like 4K is one thing. HDR is the other big thing, but HDR is such a pain in the ass to set up that I don't think most people are going to do it.
No. Funny enough, one of the rumors for the PS5 is that it will support 8K playback. Just for I guess, video, but... Like, that seems excessive.
Like, I mean, I don't even think 4K is at a point where it's taken off.
I mean, it's pretty much like the only type of TV you can get now, but.
Yeah, but again, it's one of those things where, like, when a lot of people made the switch to HD TVs, yeah. It wasn't for HD. It was because those TVs are tinier.
Yep. And you know, they stopped making the older TVs, so.
Yeah, so if you had to replace one, you just got what they sold. Because, I mean, mine was cheap. It's a, you know, 4K HD smart TV. And I think that's the thing. People want smart TVs now. But that doesn't have anything to do with consoles.
Nope. Also, I don't, like, everything I've heard about 8K seems like you need at least a 100-inch screen for it to make any difference.
Yes, and so, most people don't have private home theaters.
All right, who the hell has a 100-inch screen? Like, are we getting to the point where only like millionaires can play video games?
Like, again, it sounds like a great idea with like future-proofing it, but it's like when it's like you can future-proof. I mean, that's essentially what happened with the PS3. It's like Sony bet on Blu-ray, which ultimately ended up winning, but it wasn't the time.
Right. Like, and I don't know. Like, that seems really weird to be like a, we're going to future proof for 8K TVs when 4K is kind of just now becoming the standard. Like, unless they're like, they have some insider knowledge that this new standard is going to be 8K in like 4 years. But I don't see myself buying a new TV.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, okay, like, you know, we talk about 1080p still isn't even the standard on TV.
Right.
And we're already talking about 8K. It's like, at some point, we shouldn't just get there first. Because, like, outside of, like, again, video games and diehard movie collectors, 4K, 8K isn't for anybody.
Nope.
Stop holding me back, Earl.
I'm not holding you back.
I'm blaming you. This is your
fault. I bought an Xbox One S specifically for a 4K player. but there are, oddly enough, like 130 million other people in this country.
What? No,
there are. Weird. I thought there was only four.
How many people were at the State of the Union, though? How many people watched Trump's inauguration? I just want to know those numbers.
There were trillions of them. Trillions. I heard it was the biggest crowd ever. Yeah.
We were viewing on a CRT screen. Like, all of you just counted all the little pixels.
it's like real pay again. It's just really blurry. You couldn't just make them all out individually. They're just masses of people. But yes, I'm excited to see what the future holds. Because it's also fascinating. I think one of the things that will look back on this generation with is that the best technology didn't necessarily win. Like, Fortnite isn't what I would call the most advanced game in the market.
Right.
Nope.
I would say the same for PUBG.
Nope.
That
game's actually ugly. Broken
in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Ugly and broken.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of it dealt with... I mean, a lot of it was the tangibles. I mean, you get something like Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild is a good-looking game, but it's not really going to stick up to like the best of the best on the Xbox One or PS4. But that game made up with it in sheer scale. You know, PUBG, Fortnite, Minecraft was always a big carryover. I don't even know. Has there been a big breakout original IP this generation?
Horizon.
Was that a big breakout?
What do you consider breakout? Like, it sold better than anything Gorilla ever did before, and I think it's like up around like 5-6 million copies,
which is a good number, but that doesn't seem like a breakout. Like, I'm talking about like Call of Duty Last Generation.
No, I don't think there's anything like that.
You know, Wii Sports, the generation before that. You know, the type of game that kind of, like, there, like, I think it's a Fortnite, PUBG, those are games that kind of took hold of the cultural zeitgeist. Oh, Apex Legends right now. But those are free games. Well, PUBG isn't. Because I'm just trying to think of like what's going to be the story of this generation. Because I don't know of any. I don't know if any game. I guess Spider-Man, but that's already an established IP.
Right.
Yeah. What that hit? What just hit 10 million?
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, you know, there were games that did well, but there were stuff I thought should have done better, like Sunset Overdrive. And I'm sure Sony's had, like, you know, The Order, 1886 didn't do too hot.
No.
So, yeah, I think Horizon might be the best example.
I don't. Like, new IP, I don't really know.
Like, I'm sure we're going to get off this show, and it's one of those examples just going to fall out of our heads.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, I think, like, new IPs, like, Titanfall is one of my favorites from this gen, but that isn't exactly a huge breakout.
Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn, like, a lot of them have only had one release.
Yeah. And then almost everything has been a sequel to something else. You know, like, I, you know, again, Call of Duty's still there. We haven't had a GTA this generation, even though GTA 5 is still one of the best selling games of this generation.
Are we even going to get one? This generation looks like it's going to be over before the.
Yeah, because, I mean, they just said Red Dead. So, I mean, I honestly can't fault them, though, because GTA 5, like I said, it's probably the best selling game of this generation. I mean, it's the best selling game of all time.
It's still showing up in the top 10.
Yeah, which is insane.
Did Jeff die, by the way?
I'm back. What?
Watch Dogs was this generation, right?
Yeah, but again, like, the first game was crap, and the second one was really great, but I don't think it sold all that well.
Yeah, I guess that maybe the Division,
Rainbow Six Siege.
Well, Rainbow Six is an odd one.
New IP, though.
Yeah. Sea of Thieves didn't sell that well.
Nope.
Jeff, what were some new IPs this generation
that you really liked?
There hasn't been any. That's why I've been complaining about all gen. Where's our BioShock? Where's our Mass Effect? Where's, you know, anything?
I guess that's what Anthem was trying to be.
I guess maybe that's
Destiny,
what people hoped it would be, but
I guess Destiny would be it.
Yeah,
Destiny is the big breakout hit of the gen.
But even though Destiny 2 underperformed,
I mean, it was technically cross-gen, but we'll count it because, I mean, really, how many people played it on last-gen consoles?
I'm just saying, like,
12 really dumb people played it. Sorry, dumb people.
Things yes.
How well were you dumb?
We haven't had that this gen.
Technically, Titanfall was also cross-gen.
Yeah. Cross-gen was an interesting stuff for like the first year and a half. Because I think the first Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider? No, Shadow. The Tomb Raider was.
Tomb Raider, just normal Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Tomb Raider was cross-gen.
It was a straight PS3 game at first.
No, I think it was an Xbox One exclusive.
No, that was Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay. I'm so confused. Okay.
The Tomb Raider remake was both the new one. It was 360 and
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I played it on 360 and still have not yet played the other version.
Rise of the Tomb Raider was also cross gen.
Was it?
It was. It came out on the 360.
I did not realize it went that deep. But yeah, stuff like that, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, you know, they were cross gen for a bit. So yeah, I guess Destiny. So Destiny, Fortnite, PUBG.
Yikes!
I don't want to say Apex Legends yet, just because it's only been 2 weeks, and for all we know, that can all die down in a month.
That could fall off.
But yeah, I think that would be this gen's three new IPs.
And technically, Apex Legends is part of the Titanfall universe.
That's right. But
technically, Titanfall.
So we'll just say that Titanfall is the biggest game of this gen.
I'm okay with that qualification.
Yes, as long as you qualify to say that the best on Titanfall game is the one without Titans,
the one that's free.
So that's all it took for Titanfall was to get rid of Titans, make it free.
And actually, I heard a funny thing. I heard that people are actually playing Titanfall 2 now.
Yeah.
Like, Apex Legends has gotten people excited about Titanfall again.
I'd be okay jumping back into Titanfall 2.
I would too. And I mean, honestly, if they want to do a Titanfall 3, I'd be all for that.
And it sounds like Don does not like Apex Legends anyway, so.
Maybe we can get him to play Titanfall 2 then.
Yeah.
Or Anthem. Should play Anthem with me.
I will try to play Anthem with you.
You should.
All right. Yeah, so I think we've come to the conclusion that Titanfall is the most successful.
This is it's so funny that Titanfall was like my favorite game, and I just feel like it kind of died. Like that whole...
Yeah, both times.
Saddens me. People didn't recognize greatness. But then again, Titanfall 2, the map sucked, which really kind of...
Yeah, but then you also had modes you could just pay as Titans. So, I mean, it kind of evens out.
I prefer to drop my Titan and then outside of my Titan.
I get that, but sometimes it's really fun to just kind of play as a Titan.
Oh, yeah. I love punching things with the Titan and ripping out.
I love dropping my Titan on people.
Yeah, that's fun, too.
But that's not super easy because it's a long charge of time for that thing to fall.
You have to plan it well, but when you plan it well, you could, you know, do some damage.
Yeah, it's like, and it was a ton of fun, like, when you're learning to play the game because, like, other people weren't really understanding.
Yeah.
You were able to drop it on a lot of people early on.
Yep.
Also, you were able to utilize like the nuclear explosion and get them in close and they eject out.
That was the last time I felt like really good at a multiplayer game too. Like upper echelon. I haven't felt that since then.
Yeah. It's a shame. We should play more Titanfall. I'd be alright with that. Alright. I guess we'll have Anthem next week. And I'm not really sure what else.
Last time you said that we got Apex Legends, so who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, say things like that more often.
I'm not sure what's coming out. There'll be some crazy ass free game that comes out and takes the world by storm and we can all play it.
Well, or everyone will decide that Civilization is now the game that they all should play.
I'm sure that's going to happen.
Right, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jeff, if you are looking for more Resident Evil, Code Veronica X did just come to backwards compatibility today.
I did see that. Also, there's like the new content they released for Resident Evil 2 I've still not played yet. So.
Oh, is that out now too?
I think so, yeah.
Plus all the Lost Planet games came out, so.
One of my players just got injured on an extra point. How does that happen?
That's really sad.
I remember the season when Ron Gronkowski got injured. He broke his arm on an extra point.
Sounds like you're really loving Anthem.
I'm not playing Anthem right now. I'm playing Madden. There's dialogue and stuff that I don't want to miss. And,
I see.
The thing I always have to decide what game I'm going to play during the podcast based on this one fact, and it's got to be a game I can pause.
That's a good point.
And you can't pause Anthem.
Right.
You're just kind of stuck with what happens.
So, well, you'll get some time to play it where you don't need to pause, so you can have more impressions for us next week.
That's right.
And we'll be back then. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.